This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Let's go to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome in 67's forward Brad Gardner. Brad, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I hope you're going to be even better now. Kenny thinks he has a lot of power. Okay. We had you on, if you recall, just on the eve of the season to talk about the season in general, blah, blah, blah. And you came out on fire, So this is a karma interview. Okay. This is what's happening now. You're going to go on a heater after speaking with us today, according to Kenny. And I'm here for that. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Good. Me too. Don't worry. I'm more than happy with that as well.
Okay. How are you feeling about your game right now personally and where the team's at? It's been a phenomenal season. A couple of losses recently, which is noteworthy because it doesn't happen very often, right? And that speaks to how well the team has played throughout this season. How do you feel about the team right now in your own game?
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, the team's had a great start, great everything. We've been doing well pretty much all season. So a few games we've let slip, but other than that, it's all been kind of positive. But I don't know. We've had a few kind of crazy couple weeks, you know, with travel. High school guys are all kind of in exams. So lots of stuff kind of going on. So I think that's kind of the next week or so is going to kind of start to calm down a little bit and die out. So it'll be good. I don't know. All the boys are pretty excited right now, getting a few boys back in the lineup this weekend that were out kind of the last few games. So obviously all those additions help a lot. And yeah, in terms of the team, I don't know. We're all pretty excited right now, excited for the second half, obviously. Few games in, but still quite a few to go. So just looking forward to it, kind of battling for a spot. We got North Bay behind us by a couple points, but keep battling and hold the first place and just keep going. And then personally, just my game, obviously some new players coming in. I just kind of obviously got to play a different bit of a different role, but kind of keep doing my thing as well. So just kind of to keep going. It's a long year. It'll be nice to get these exams done, not have to worry about those. But, just kind of got to keep going. And it's a long year, so about 26 more games to go. And just got to keep going.
Real quick, Brad, are you getting the snow day for the exams today?
Oh, yeah, we actually got a day off. So
all right, okay.
But it's, no complaints with that.
I don't think people realize how busy you guys are, especially the high school kids, younger 16, 17-year-olds in the OHL. How much of a distraction may be the wrong word, but how much of your attention is taken away from hockey by everything else? And everybody has a day-to-day life, but it seems like you guys have just a little bit more jammed in.
Yeah, I'd say obviously like the culture with the 67s and everything is a lot different than lots of other teams. Like, they don't just take pride in the hockey, they take pride in, you know, community, schooling, everything for all the players. So, I mean, it definitely adds a bit more, but I mean, we're all up for it and we kind of all chose to, and that's why we're here. So, that's one reason mainly why I chose to come here as well. It's just, obviously a great culture. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely, definitely different. I mean, my day starts, at 6 a.m. I wake up, get to the rink for 7, you know, we got practice, video, and then we go to school from 11 till 4, and then workouts from, you know, 4:15 till 5:30. So you have pretty long, like 12-hour days during the week. But I mean, it's good. It's turning us into good hockey players, good people. So I don't know. It's all for kind of a good price.
Brad, you mentioned earlier that, you know, your role has changed somewhat more recently, but that speaks to the depth of the team and the expectation level with the team. You're going for it this year. The Ottawa 67s are going to try to win a league championship and win a Memorial Cup, and that has to be so exciting. But, you know, how have you been dealing with, you know, roles change throughout a year? And we can see through history, Kenny and I spoke about this last week, Jack Quinn worked out well for him in the end, right? He went through the same thing where, you know, acquisitions were made, roles changed throughout the year, and, you know, you're asked to do something a little bit different with some different line mates, but it's all about the team.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, just being kind of interchangeable between wing and center. We kind of talked to coach about that as well. I'm kind of open to playing either, so. Right now I'm on the wing, but I don't know. It's been good. I'm kind of good with whatever it is. Obviously, our team wanted to make a push for it this year. Everyone's excited. Lots of good players to learn from, lots of good players to kind of push you in practice. So, I don't know, our team's just kind of itching to get a little bit better every day, which I think we kind of been making good progress to. And, yeah, so just kind of keeping going. And then obviously my role, just whatever kind of the team needs to be, whatever the coaches kind of need. And other than that, just kind of playing my game, not thinking too much, and just kind of trying to enjoy it.
I know that you've been asked this question a lot, but I think it's more relevant now than it had been earlier in the season. When you're going through a little bit of a goal slump, do you have anything that you try and do? And do you mimic your dad, Bruce Gardner, when he used to use a prop to dunk his stick in?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think I might have to start pulling that one out maybe this weekend, because I don't know. Like you said, it's been a few games since I scored. So, well, more than a few. So, I don't know. Kind of whatever it takes to get the monkey off the back, kind of in the next little bit. I'm kind of open to doing anything, whether... And it takes doing what my dad did, what too. I'm open for it.
How do you stay positive in situations like that? And how do you stay confident and believing in yourself that that next goal is going to come?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I've done it the whole first half, so I know I kind of, I'm capable of doing it. And, I know I just kind of got to stick with it. Obviously like bounces come to you at different times. I was fortunate to get lots of good bounces, everything, but I was also working hard in the first half. So I don't know. I just got to kind of stick with it. I mean, I'm not always going to get the puck right on my stick right with an open net. So it's like you got to work for it. And, yeah, I don't know. It's just whether it's assists, goals, I mean, all the great. The team wins. And, you know, the team's been winning lately as well. So not like we're losing, which would be a bit tougher to deal with. So I don't know. We're winning right now. I'm feeling pretty good, practicing well, healthy. So, I mean, just kind of got to keep with it and hope it comes soon.
All right, yeah, so it will come soon. You're on this show today. So when you score tomorrow night against London, Kenny's easy to spot, big guy, loud suit, just a little bit of a point and a wink, okay,
oh, yeah.
After you score tomorrow night.
I'll give him – I'll point out to him. I always see him up there in the stand with nice suits on. So, yeah, easy to find for sure. I'll make sure to give you a shout-out.
Yeah, you hear that, right. Lloydie? Nice suits.
Nice suits.
Yeah, that's a key phrase.
That's a nice comment from a nice man, I think, being kind. All right. Did you stay up last night, watch your teammate Luca Pinelli? Your thoughts on the game and, you know, how he looked?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. He had a great game, obviously. He had that goal there, and he was playing well. He's obviously a super competitive player and a guy, so happy for him, happy to see him succeed. Lots of good players there, and just for him to be able to have such a strong showing is shows a lot for just the player he is and for kind of what we do here in Ottawa. So, and obviously representing well, great player. So it'll be exciting to see him alongside some of the other O5s upcoming draft. It'll be fun.
With the start that you had and being ranked where you are, 43rd on North American Central Scouting list on the most recent rankings, did you think that maybe you had done enough to earn an invite to that game?
Yeah, I mean... It's definitely something that motivates you. I think it's kind of something that'll help now too. It's a long year, so you always need stuff to kind of keep you going, keep you motivated. So that's definitely something that'll get me motivated now. I mean, there's lots of good players there. Just kind of something now that when we play other teams, it'll kind of get other guys that were there. It's kind of give me something to prove. So, definitely gonna. Give me a bit of a spark, and it would have been nice to be there for sure, but just got to keep going.
How much do you use extra motivation or outside motivation for yourself? Because everybody watched the documentary on the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan with that made me mad. How much do you use outside forces to get yourself motivated for a game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a long year, so it's easy. I mean, everyone says it's easy to play 30 some odd games. It's like the full 68 that you kind of, the consistency that you got to be there for. So, I mean, you kind of got to dig into different things throughout the year where obviously at the start, you got the good energy with the excited to be back. Body's always good. You know, you're heavy, everything, coming off a good summer of training. So obviously kind of now, which would, I don't know, would be almost called the dog days where it's just kind of, you got to bear down, where it's kind of the extra 2 points, whatever you get in these games that you win that end up being huge, for the end of the season. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely got to dig into some different things. But, yeah, whether it's for me, my dad's pretty good at motivating me, stuff like that, because he's pretty hard on me. So that always helps. Lucky to have that. And other than that, yeah, just kind of finding different things to get me going kind of day in, day out.
With your dad playing in the NHL, how much do you lean on him? I know that there's a lot of conversations that you have, but how much extra do you get from him on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, me and him talk every day pretty much, multiple times a day, and usually one of those calls is about hockey, one of the other ones is just how I'm doing, but I don't know, he likes it. I mean, it's fun for him to watch now that they're kind of getting higher level too, the OHL and stuff, it's good for him to watch, so he enjoys it, and obviously he's a great great help for me. Obviously, I trust him. He did it himself, so sometimes I'll disagree with him after his thoughts on how I played in the game, but at the end of the day, I usually know it's true what he says, so yeah, I mean, he's a good motivator for me as well, and then yeah, obviously he's helped a lot, so fortunate to have him.
And kind of in the same vein of leaning on others, and kind of back to, you know, Pennelly played last night, you're ranked on Bob's most recent list, Bob McKenzie. You've got multiple teammates here. This is a draft year. Do you find that you kind of lean on each other? Because it's all about your current team, right? That's what's most important. It's got to be in the back of everybody's mind, though, that, you know, has an opportunity to be drafted this summer into the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all lean on each other pretty good. That's kind of one of the things about the culture. I mean, all of us are pretty tight. Everyone's pretty supportive of one another, so everyone's kind of happy for everyone else's success. And Aussie to have, I think there was five of the O5s, almost every O5 like on our team was like at least on the central scouting list. So I mean, that's motivating for all the boys, and happy to see that for everyone. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It is for me. I'm happy for my teammates as well, and just everyone deserves it. I mean, everyone works hard every day, so it's good to see people's kind of work get recognized a little bit. Obviously, just a lesson at the end of the day, you got to do other things. So just kind of got to keep going. It's still a long year left. At the end of the day, it's just a list. So you kind of got to keep going. But obviously, yeah, feels good. All of each other are pretty good. We push each other every practice, every workout in the classroom. So yeah, all those things kind of add up, and we're all pretty supportive.
What's it like to have Dave Cameron as your head coach? He's coached in the NHL. He has a ton of experience. What's it like dealing with Dave at practices and in the game, and how much have you learned from him over your first year and a half here?
I learned a ton. Obviously, from my first year till now, I'd say I'm a kind of different player. Just he's obviously coached at the pro level, so all the guys, including myself, all trust him. We know he's been there, so we know kind of what he says kind of works. So usually his advice, we all take not for granted, just kind of getting better every day. His practices, we go hard. He holds us all to a high standard too. He doesn't let much stuff fly. So I don't know, I think it all kind of turns us into better players. And obviously his coaching style is everything I like. And yeah, it's kind of, for me, it's been great. And yeah, he's a good coach. So I'll be excited. The boys want to win for him as well. So it'll be fun.
And have you figured out his sense of humor? And how, if you have, how long did it actually take you to understand that he loves joking around?
Yeah, I don't know. He always jokes around with me a little bit, but it took me a little while last year until I kind of got it. But yeah, once I got it, once you get to know him, he's a good guy. So I don't know, he's a good coach, good person. So yeah, definitely his humor definitely took a while for some of the young rookies, including myself, to get in the first year, but. Even though, honestly, this year it took a bit to get back into it, but it's great. So, yeah.
Exams, that's my last one here. What do you got coming up here, and which one worries you the most? Which one you got to buckle down the most here to get these exams done?
Yeah, I'm actually lucky. I only got one exam. It's in calculus, calc and vectors.
Oh, so, I'd be dead.
Yeah, it's a bit of a doozy, and we got 3-3 this weekend. But it's my last class, and then I'm done for the rest of the year. I'm graduating a bit early, so
nice.
Honestly, it's just kind of got to grind through these next few days. It's on Monday, so still got some time to study and stuff. But yeah, just kind of got to grind, and it's my last one, so just kind of. Work hard, get it done, and then I got a few more hours in my daily schedule, which would be nice. So,
all right,
it would be good.
Use the sports cliches. There's no tomorrow. Leave it all out there. You only got one left. Okay, there you go.
Thank you. That's perfect.
Okay, all good. Awesome having you on. And all right, point to Kenny. You're going to score. That's it.
Yep,
you're going to score tomorrow night, and the team's going to win. It's double karma right there.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
no
Brad.
Problem. See you guys.
All right. There's Brad Gardner of the Ottawa 67s. It's going to happen. Calculus, man. It's his last one, though. So there you go, and he's graduating.
Yeah, he's a smart kid.
Yeah.
Vectors and the calculus. I at the hotel in Kitchener, they had a little study hall because all the kids are going through the same thing. So they, and there's so many kids on this team that they're all just sitting in the lobby and going through this. And I just took a peek at some of their work. Everything's gone from high school now, Lloydie. All the calculus that I did, the 17% that I got in finite, it's all out the window. I've got no memory of it whatsoever. I'm looking at it, and I'm just, okay, I wouldn't even know where to start now. And they're going through high school and competing at the highest level that they can in the OHL and doing very well at it this season. So it, as he mentioned that in his first answer, going through all the off-ice issues and again, I don't want to say distractions because they're not distractions, but they're away from the rink and away from what they eventually want to do, especially guys like Gardner. It can be a lot to handle, especially at the young age of just 17 years old.
It'd be interesting to look at, and I don't know who would have this kind of data on a laptop, Kenny, league-wide, of players in the league that are they're still in high school and they're having exams and maybe a bit of a dip in expectation performance at around this time of year, Kenny, right? Yeah,
typically, it's just associated with guys getting tired, especially in the rookie season. At 16 years old, guys just hit a wall. They haven't played this much hockey. They're competing at this level, at a high level for this long. Well, maybe it's not just hitting a wall. Maybe it's exams. Maybe it's the rest of life catching up a little bit. And maybe it is a wall, but maybe it's not that physical wall out on the ice. Maybe there's more of that mental wall that they're running into.
Okay. Well, full report on my desk, Kenny, next segment from you, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'll give you 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm
all right. Cram. Got to cram for that exam. Okay, thanks to Brad Gardner. That was fun. If you miss it, Kenny, I'll have it up on our website at tsn1200.ca. Still to come on the show, Dean Brown's going to join his voice of the Sens with Gord Wilson at TSN 1200. Next game's tomorrow night in Toronto. No practice for the Sens today. They're just going to head straight to the Big Smoke, and Dean will talk about last night, look ahead to tonight, and tomorrow night, injury situation.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, thanks to Brad Gardner. That was fun in our last segment. Good luck to the 67s and specifically to Brad. Hopefully we do bring him a little karma. Taking on the London Knights tomorrow night at TD Place. Kenny, somewhat of a rare home game in the next little while, right, for the Ottawa 67s.
8 of 9 on the road. Basically 3 straight weekends on the road, including this weekend, Lloydie, which I'm looking not forward to. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of looking forward to it and kind of not, where they play at home on Friday. Saturday afternoon in Hamilton, Sunday afternoon in Mississauga. So quick travel time after being at home against one of the league's best teams right now in the London Knights. So it'll be a fun one, though, that's for sure.
And then the next weekend, that's a big trip. You're going to be going stateside for part of that. You got what, Flint, Saginaw, and Sarnia coming up the following weekend.
Yeah, the good news is that it's a 1 o'clock Sarnia game. So get home just a little bit earlier. Less prep time, and it's a 3-3, which is rare for that trip through the States. Generally, it's a 3-4, but it didn't work out that way this time. So it'll be a quick one and a long one. And that's the last real long one of the season, though.
Well, and here, this is going to be taxing as well. So I've got the schedule up in front of me. This is not off the top of my head, folks. Okay.
Really?
Shocker, right? So, but here's the run that starts with that road trip for the 67. So Friday, February the 3rd, they're at Flint. The following night, on the Saturday, they're in Saginaw. Sunday afternoon, as Kenny said, 1 o'clock, Sarnia. So you're going to be crossing the border, and it's a 3 and less than 3, really, to cap it off. It's like, all right, bit of a breather. Nope. Early start to the week, Thursday, playing host to Gatineau on Thursday the 9th. Then they play the next night at home again, at least no travel, against Niagara. Then they play the next night back in Gatineau. So you're going to do a 3-3 Friday through Sunday, and then you start another 3-3 on the Thursday through Saturday, Kenny. That'll be a tight little run here, that six-game stretch for the 67s.
It will be. The good news is that the travel will be done, and you actually get to stay at home. So Monday off, Tuesday, Wednesday practice, Thursday get right back at it. So it's not as bad as going on the road and playing that 3-3 because you're not really traveling anywhere. That game against the Niagara Ice Dogs, though, oh, that's a trap game. That is with Gatineau on either side, who is a very good team in the queue, loaded up. They've got a ton of NHL talent on their roster. That's a game. Those are games that Ottawa is going to be focused on. Niagara, the worst team in the league, I don't think has won a game in 2023 yet. Their owner, who owns leagues across or loans teams across three different leagues, the OJHL, the GOJHL, and the OHL, his teams have yet to win a game in 2023. It's been a rough goal for Darren Dadobalar, but that's a massive trap game because they've started to work harder despite their record. They played a lot better against Ottawa the last time that the 67s played Niagara, so that's definitely a trap game if they look to either side of it.
All right, I want to get into some of your text messages that have come in. Ian Mendez is going to join us at noon, Dean Brown at 1, still to come on the show. Dave writes, plenty of things to be disappointed, upset, frustrated about this team and their performance this year. No one would fault fans for feeling this way. However, one thing I'm really happy about with this team is how close they are as a group. The goggles giveaway to Coach Jones last night, and congrats to Waddy on 4 years being sober. Love seeing those interactions. We're in good hands with the Tkachuk and all the other players, NHL families. They seem to get it. Comes in from Dave. I would concur, Dave. And if people have not seen the latest Senators after every win, right, they put the video out. And DJ Smith, it always starts with DJ Smith. Quick little thing in the room, talking about who played well, a little pump up, and then points to whoever had the goggles last. Who's it going to be? Well, there was a wrinkle last night. Dylan Gambrell stood up and gave praise to Austin Watson for 4 years being sober. And then Josh Norris came because he had the goggles last. He came in and he made the announcement. He gave it to Coach Jones. That was the first game since that news went public. Bob Jones is battling ALS. So that was a special one last night, Kenny.
It really is. And just to comment on the tightness of the team and the close-knit group that they have, it's easy on a losing team to develop bad relationships, I think. And that has not crept in on a losing hockey team over the last number of years for the Sens. They've done a good job of keeping things fresh, keeping things lively. I think it helps that they're all around the same age. They're all coming up together. They are all very competitive, and you sprinkle in guys like Claude Giroux. Nick Holden seems very popular in that room.
Austin Watson.
Everything just kind of clicks, and that's crucial in tough years, that you get through it and you still remain close and you still remain a tight-knit group, because it's very, I think it's easy to lose that. Over a tough season, they've kept it together, and last night was very special, seeing Austin Watson getting recognized for 4 years of sobriety. That's massive. And then there's not much better than seeing Bob Jones get the goggles and how close they are, the cheers that Jones got for that. It's a special group.
All right. This one just came in. It's tough for the Islanders right now, right? They're closer to a playoff spot than the Sens, but the problem is they were in one and playing quite well. They're in a spiral right now. They've lost six in a row with their loss last night, and they've got two wins in their last 13 games. And then farm team sends this in. Islanders coach looks like he rips post-game darts at the bada bing. Lane Lambert, okay?
Scary looking dude.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I keep kind of hinting at it. It's just, I don't know. Like, would it shock you if Lou Lamoriello fired his coach?
It never would.
In the next little while? No, it wouldn't. Would it shock you if there was like, wow, he traded that guy? No, it's Lou Lamoriello. It just feels, when Lou Lamoriello spoke yesterday, that's weird for Lou. He doesn't do media. Right? He made himself available to point the finger at himself. You know, that's kind of like, to go what Farm Team's saying, that's like, come here, little kiss on the cheek, love you. Want to take a drive? You know what I mean? We've all seen shows and movies. You get that kind of feeling. It's like, what's coming, Lou? What are you doing? What are you up to? Why are you making yourself available to speak? That's not what you do. And it's just, I don't know. Is that by design? Did he want to send a chill around the group by making, I'm going to speak to media today. What? What's next? It just seems like it's a precursor. I don't know. Am I reading too much into that?
No, I don't think so, because it is such a rare thing. And to go out there and do that, I don't know. That's impossible to get a read on. Even the insiders, they have no idea what's going on in Long Island. There's no idea. There's no clue. There's never anything coming out or going in. I thought that Nazem Kadri was going to end up signing there because it stayed silent for so long that I just assumed that was the landing spot for Kadri, because you just don't get anything else out of it. So when he does speak, it's such a rare occurrence that maybe it is a precursor to something else happening, and maybe it's a way to deliver a message without having to directly deliver the message. Just an odd place.
All right. Well, and we got a couple here. We're going to get to that sound that we talked about in case you missed it here. It's game two, and Rick Tocchet, he's pulled out a big gun already. A word that makes you wince. It's like, ooh, you're using that word. That's an aggressive word to use, especially when you're two games into your tenure here. So these texts came in. Time to roll a grenade into that Canucks dressing room. Team needs to be blown up. And then Big Wrench Rob sent this in. Rick Tocchet just played the Bauer as his lead card in a game of euchre. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a left and right Bauer. One of them is the word he used last night. The other word is quit. Well, Kenny's put together a few minutes of this. We won't run the whole thing, but you kind of get the gist. So the Vancouver Canucks go into Seattle, and they lose 6-1, and it was a 6-1 hockey game. You know, sometimes you say, well, you know what, it was close. No, it was bad. It was very bad. And here's the new head coach talking about it afterwards.
That's a good team right there. You know, I don't know if the anxiety caught up to some of the guys, you know, the motions last week, but oof, that was bad tonight. That was bad.
You guys won so many puck battles last night, and the first pucks last night, and it was the total opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, soft. It was you hate to call your team soft, but it was soft tonight. You know, we didn't participate on the wall battles. We didn't get a rim out. You know, that we knew this is a good team. We didn't play predictable. We started regrouping, like old habits came. We were just talking to the coach stuff, man, I wish I had about 10 practices. I really do. And because it shows tonight that we got a lot of work to do.
You would be aware of how inconsistent they've been from, you know, your prep for this job. Did it still surprise you how the team tonight hardly looked at anything like the team last night?
Like I said, I warned, even the coach, it's one game, but it's hard to do it again and again. And it was hard for them to stay in good habits, frustration. I don't know, like I said, the anxiety cut, but I don't know what to say. I really don't. It's one of those, game plan is there. And it's hard to continue to do it. Sometimes when you have to play a good team like that, it's okay to live for another shift, Just advance the puck. You don't always have to make a home run play, and then we'll be trying to make home run plays over home run plays, and then it's 2-3-4-0, and then, then the game's over after that. It's
not often you see these days, because of how valuable the timeout is, a coach use one in the first period.
Yeah.
You obviously felt you needed it. What was your thinking? What was the message at that point to them?
Well, there was two opportunities to go north with it, which we did last night, to advance the play and actually chase a puck down and win a battle. And for some reason, we regroup. The weak side wingers staying wide. Nobody wants the puck. I don't, I've been here a short time, in like 4 or 5 days. And from what I was told, this group has a tough time putting back-to-back, predictable hockey or, efforts together. So we got a long way to go.
They're a fast team.
Yes.
Probably you guys aren't a fast team, but do you have to find a way to play faster?
Yeah, that's predictable hockey. Everybody's got to know where the puck's going. You know, yeah, you're right. They're a fast team. They exposed us, and we didn't expose them. You know, I kind of shoot myself. I had a gut feeling to put two or three other guys in the lineup, just maybe to put some fresh legs. I didn't, so that's kind of maybe my fault. Not to suck against myself, but maybe I should have done that.
What's your biggest takeaway from the first 28 hours that you've
Well, listen, you know, we all know there's some holes we got to fill. You know, we got to get that leadership group stronger, more resilient team, obviously. And listen, I'm not making excuses, but maybe the anxiety caught up to them. It looked like everybody looked tired. Everybody couldn't handle the puck. Usually some games you have three or four guys that don't look good, but it seemed like there's a couple of guys actually really trying out there, but the rest of the guys are really struggling tonight, and maybe the anxiety hit their legs. I don't know.
And there's more, right? He keeps circling back to the same stuff. It's like, and I get it. Kenny, you get it. I think everybody listening, you get it. It's just the problem, if there is a problem with that, you didn't leave yourself too many places to go. Right, when you're dropping that one right out of the gate, but that speaks to how secure he is, and he should feel secure. It's a brand new coach, brand new contract. They're not letting him go, right? Yeah. And it just I think it's a window into how frank the discussions have been behind the scenes between Tocchet and Rutherford and Nalvin as he took the job.
100%. And at the beginning of that, you heard him call his team soft. At the end, he questioned, aside from a handful of guys, their effort level. They didn't try hard. You saw a couple guys try hard out there, was the quote. That's not, you're hitting right at the heart of things if you're going in there and you're questioning effort level and you're questioning the team's toughness and how they play the game and you calling them soft. Where do you go? What other ammo do you have to try and motivate this team? You're using the heavy glove right away, and I think that's the right approach with the way that Bruce Boudreau was coaching. You had to come in there, be a little bit tougher, but to do this in the media this early, I think is, I don't want to say a questionable tactic because he knows a lot more about hockey than I do and probably knows a lot, well, he does know a lot more about coaching than I do, but I just question the way that he's come out and done this early. Where do you leave yourself to go?
I think maybe as we kind of think more about it, at least I'll speak for myself, I'm more looking at it as, all right, they're not just, this is not lip service, big changes coming. They're going to move out guys, and the guys they move out, you can just say, well, those are the guys that we thought were soft. Like this is the message. Like, changes are coming, and we're going to be moving out some bodies, and a lot of it is they're going to try to move out money, and they're going to move guys that they don't want to move. I still maintain that. I mean, I think they're going to touch a player, and what I mean by that is they're going to strike at something in the core here that they really probably don't want to, but they probably have to. And I'm not talking, like, I'm not considering Horvat the core. He's a core player for them, but he's on the expiring contract, and we know where this is going, right? It's not like he's got term left, so I'm not really counting him in that mix, even though, yes, he's a captain of the team, so in the here and now, he's a core player. But it's still fascinating to watch how it's going to unfold there. Part one's over. Tocchet's in, and now there's many more acts to this play.
I don't know what you do, because Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I don't want to call him a bad hockey player, but he's not the player that he was. And at over $7 million, that's an immovable contract.
I think they buy him out, Kenny. I think they're gonna bite the bullet on that one this summer and buy him out.
Wow.
Good news is he doesn't have any bonus money left, so you're going to get the full value of a buyout, but it's still a lot.
That's still a lot. Connor Garland is not the player that I think that they thought they were acquiring when they traded for him. He's got a hefty contract nearing $5 million. That's a lot of money. I don't know if anybody's going to take that on. So when you look at moving money out, Tyler Myers has an immovable contract. That's $6 million. That's would be incredibly difficult, and if they do, phenomenal on them. Beyond that, you're getting into your core. And as you say, you have Bo Horvat, who's likely on the move already. There's discussions, and the issue becomes is, are the Canucks going to allow other teams to have conversations about a contract extension? And can they boost the value of that Bo Horvat deal to a point where you get fair value? And like, he's having an unbelievable year and pricing himself out of Vancouver. Can they get enough for him to make it completely worth their while and make it a good trade? Brock Besser, there's been that conversation around him for what seems like a couple of years now. Are they going to be able to get the most out of him and the difficulties that he's had off the ice and some of the tragedies that have gone on, the heartache, whatever the case may be, to be able to unlock the most out of him? There's just, that's a, right now, a from my eye, a poorly constructed team. And they're going to have to kind of tear things down. And you may not want to, but you may just have to. And you may have to bite the bullet and go the way of the Arizona Coyotes. Because by the time they get back up there, it's going to be a lot of pain. And the players that you're going to be relying on, Pettersson and Hughes, they're going to be approaching, well, they're going to be closer to 30 than they are 20 at that point in time. And it's going to be a longer rebuild than I think they want. But I just don't see any other way with the contracts they have for the length of time that they have with the production that they're getting. It's just a bad mixture right now.
All right, thoughts on any of that and what Tocchet in his approach last night? Let us know, 12-1200. As we go to break, I just saw this piece of news come across out of Minnesota. Dean Evason is not afraid to step off the curb with veteran players. So we scratched Matt Dumba for two games, right, before he got back into the lineup. Now Dean Evason this morning has told K-Fan Radio in a hit there that he's going to be scratching Ryan Hartman. Very important player for the Minnesota Wild against the Flyers. And the reason being, he's taken too many penalties lately. Sending a message. He's taken 21 penalty minutes in his last three games. Now, that includes a 10-minute misconduct against the Hurricanes, and he's dashed four during that span. So, Evason, shortly after scratching Dumba, one of his top 4D, for a couple of games, now he's going to scratch one of his top six forwards. He's going to sit down because he's taken too many penalties lately. All right, we'll take a break. Yep, we'll take a break. Back in a moment. Ian Mendez is going to join us at noon. Dean Brown at 1, still to come on In the Box on TSN 1200. All right, I don't know why, but I don't think Kenny's ever played this one.
Yeah, why not? Okay. Why wouldn't I?
You know what? You do you.
Yep. Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Original. All right, next segment, we're going to get Ian Mendez from The Athletic to hop on and talk about last night's game and look ahead. But it's more of a, I want to get Ian on just kind of a, where the Sens are right now. You know, it just seems as if there's a bit of a different feel this week after those couple of losses last weekend. And that was a nice win last night. They got three more games before the break, and what the GM's going to be up to and what the rest of the season's about. Kind of a bit of a macro season conversation that way. And later in the show, Voice of the Sens for his usual Thursday hit. Next game's in Toronto tomorrow night against the Leafs. No practice today, just heading straight to Toronto. But Dean Brown's going to join us coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. In the meantime, we'll get to some of your text messages. And since this will be a very short segment, I'm going to get to something recently that just came in. Now, yes, we did discuss this on the show a bit yesterday. And the reason why, and it was discussed on all the shows yesterday and basically in the NHL. And the reason why, Gary Bettman was in Montreal two nights ago and did a media availability and touched on a myriad of things, including tanking and draft lottery. And that sparked draft lottery discussion, and that sparked our web poll yesterday. And so we had that discussion. But Gur the Mad sent this in. Lloydie, this is yesterday's content, so if you don't want to revisit it, understood. Don't worry, we're revisiting right now. I included this idea in an email I sent to Drive a couple of months back, and yesterday it was never brought up. I'm completely out of my mind. Best way to decide the draft, mine. Teams that don't make the playoffs go into a tourney. Worst team in each conference starts with 8 points, down to one for the best. Each team plays each other in the conference, then cross over for final position, where both number ones play for the first and second, twos play for third and fourth, etc. Think about it. Every league is looking to more money, often including expanded playoff. This adds more money without watering down the playoffs, and teams would actually have to win for the best draft position. Gur the Mad, I did mention this yesterday with Meth, and I'm not picking on you, but I was very, very adamant about this is what I hate the most of all the suggestions.
Yeah.
Right? And I appreciate the – I hate this idea. I've always hated it. And Meth concurred, and for a very personal reason. Yeah, make more money. Not the players. So you're going to tell players, okay, 82 games, didn't make the playoffs, disappointing year. You miss out on playing at the most fun time of year, chance to win a Stanley Cup. And you can make money. There's league money, right, when you go to a conference final and – that goes in a little bit extra to the players' pockets. You're missing out on all of that. But tell you what we're going to do. You're going to play for free, and the prize is somebody takes one of your jobs, because oftentimes very high pick, first overall pick, is going to jump into the lineup next year. Who's in? That's where it stops with. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me for those reasons. But I love creativity. I appreciate the creativity, but that is one concept I'll never be able to wrap my head around it, that it's feasible.
No.
And it'll work.
No, I don't like that one. All the reasons that you outlined. The one that you did bring up yesterday that can get a little convoluted, could get a little messy, a little more thought needs to go into it, is as of a certain date, the team with the most points from that date to the end of the season who missed the playoffs would get the first.
Now, that wasn't my idea. That was another text.
That's another text. But that's the one that I like better than this one. I still don't see a major flaw in the draft lottery. It still adds a bit of jeopardy in there. Tanking will still be a thing, but it's not out of control. It can be, but I don't think it's out of control as it would be in other sports where you just get the first overall pick if you finish last. But I think that there could be something with the points in a certain sector of the season, the last little bit of the season, to promote essentially trying to win at the end of the year as well as more competitive games. I like that idea, but it would have to there would have to be a little tweaking to it, and I like the lottery more than the idea that Gur the Mad came up with.
All right. There we go. See, we revisited, okay, even though it was yesterday, but you probably didn't like our answer, Gur, but we thank you for the text and your contributions.
Buddy.
All right. We'll come back with Ian Mendez next from The Athletic. Talk more sense on In the Box on TSN 1200.